Good morning, everyone. So what we've heard already today is how ACA, studying on ACA, has really impacted the way that we look at and approach care. So now we want to talk a little bit about how, as a foundation, as a philanthropic organization, can we also use ACA to really impact the care of people in our communities? This is our presenter disclosure. So today I would just want to give you guys an overview of who we are as a foundation, our focus on health equity, how we are using ACA to really advance health equity in Connecticut through our organization, the need for community and clinical integration, and then we'll roll it up and just talk again about what is the role of philanthropy. So as a foundation, we've been around since 1999. As mentioned, we are the state's largest independent health philanthropic organization. And over the years, we have contributed around $57 billion throughout the state towards health efforts. Our theory is that by investing in systems change, we will make more sustainable impact for more people. And when we talk about systems change, what we mean is big P and small P. Big P, policies, legislation that impact particularly people of color. The small P, changing the practices, the way that care is delivered in the state of Connecticut, and finding the right partners in order to do that. We believe that everyone, regardless of their background, their income, their race, should have the chance for optimal health in Connecticut. And our goal is to improve the health of Connecticut residents, again, through systems change. We want to make sure that health equity is a part of all conversations related to health, especially related to health reform in Connecticut. And our focus is on assuring that people of color, in particular, have access to care. Now, people look at Connecticut and they say, well, Connecticut, if you know much about the state, you say it's a pretty wealthy state. You're thinking of Stamford, you're thinking of Fairfield County. But Connecticut, we call it two Connecticuts. There is definitely a more wealthy side of Connecticut, and then there's a huge side of Connecticut that has a large disadvantaged population. Unfortunately, we often make policies and operate like two separate Connecticuts. So the policies that we have normally don't help people in disadvantaged communities. We spend around $30 billion on healthcare, the fourth highest of all the states. And you think about how small we are and how ridiculous that really is when you think about the size of our state. But again, considering that we have two Connecticuts, our policies oftentimes don't help the people who need the most help related to healthcare and where the policies would really help lower costs. When we shifted as an organization in 2013 to focus on people of color, people asked why. And the reason being is that we have done a lot of studies in Connecticut around health disparities. And this is just one reflection of that. Diabetes disproportionately affects many of our Connecticut residents who are Black and Hispanic. And you see that across other states. But when you look at the statistics, the death rate for African Americans, 40%. For Hispanics, 24%, versus 16% for whites. So again, we're dealing with two Connecticuts, and so our focus is on the Connecticut that's forgotten. The focus is on the Connecticut that are the people of color, where health disparities are really impacting their life and their health. So now I'm going to bring up Patricia Baker, who's our president and CEO, and she's going to talk about how we've used ACA to really advance the conversation on health equity in Connecticut.
Thank you, Tiffany. As Tiffany said, you know, the ACA is the biggest systems change to come along in health since Medicare? And so for us, we've always focused on reducing racial and ethnic health disparities, but we also recognized that the ACA could get implemented, and in fact, unless there is conscious, intentional effort to embed health equity in that implementation, disparities in our state could grow. And so the foundation, as a systems change funder, really took it on its job. My shorthand is embedding health equity into the architecture and implementation of health reform. And so it's not surprising when you think about where we focused on enrollment, health delivery reform, and the safety net in particular, because the safety net actually embodies both of those, access into the system as well as delivery. And Connecticut, we're pleased, in fact, has been probably one of the better exchanges, you know, in the country. But for the foundation, it was, as a systems approach, it's about the ACA promises no wrong door. Now, that's a big promise that is yet to be acknowledged, but it's really a culture shift, that the job of government and Access Health CT in Connecticut is to ensure, our job in the back room is to make sure you get covered. You shouldn't know all the complications and issues that we faced. We're a long way from that. So how do we support that policy? In the rollout, it's through navigators, in-person assistants, and more our evaluation data tells us we better focus on health insurance literacy, because people pick plans that they didn't ask about their doctor, they didn't ask about their hospital, and they said, how much does the premium cost? And often didn't understand cost sharing, so ended up with a lousy plan that cost them more in the end. So health insurance literacy is really critically important, because, and now we're trying to think about creative ways to think about the system's accountability to connect people to care, from enrollment to, in fact, the viable connections. And then recently we're certainly focused on health delivery reform. Connecticut, we took again an advantage. Connecticut received the funding through CMMI for the state innovation model. And with that, we have a chance to work on various committees, councils, task force, which I can tell you someone from the foundation, either staff, board, or a fellow, is on every one of them. So they're on the quality council. What metrics? And is health equity going to be one of those metrics? So far, so good. The fight is still coming. Which health outcomes are you going to focus? We have diabetes and asthma, which in fact are significant for populations of color. It's really a question of affordable for who. Affordability is still gigantic and a big issue. But the issue, and one of our speakers alluded to it, we're hitting our head against, is the collection of racial and ethnic data and the stratification. Everybody nods, but we're not getting there. And then ultimately in the safety net, just to give you a taste, we're worried about school-based health centers being left out of health reform, that there'll be some nice little grant-funded program over here, but they're not going to be mainstreamed. And we're looking at federally qualified health centers and saying, that's the potential of real integration. For us, comprehensive or better care means oral, mental, and physical health are integrated, or actually the whole person is considered. So how do we as a foundation help advance that integration? Because I'm here to tell you, co-location doesn't mean integration. And so, hold on. So I want to talk about an approach we took, which is you have to name it and you have to specify a goal if, in fact, we're going to get the consciousness and individuals thinking about strategies and actions. So one of the approaches we took is make sure that health equity or health disparities is in either legislative language and or in grant language, or some language that there's some accountability. So when you look at our state innovation model, I'm going to go to Access Health first, because that legislation passed first. You will note in the legislative language there is a specific goal of our marketplaces to eliminate health disparities. If you look at what's not listed are all-payer claims database, which is yet to go live, you would find language that says their job is to evaluate health disparities. In the State Health Improvement Plan, no surprise, health equity is a central tenet. And in the State Innovation Model, which is charged with transforming the delivery system for and touching 90% of Connecticut residents, we have, in fact, made sure that one of the major objectives and goals is to eliminate health inequities. And we were told that one of the reasons our state got funding is because of that language, that unique language. So what that means is every time you're at the table, I'm going to skip a couple of slides, knowing time, I'm talking faster than the speed of light, I know, every time the conversation's about what are we going to do and where are the resources going, health equity is at least in the language and somebody's at the table to have that accountability. Where our state innovation model is moving, and one of the things when we're drilling down is how do you keep that language front and center, is a new RFP that's going out called CCIP, or Clinical and Community Integration. Because ultimately, SIM is trying to not only transform the delivery system, but improve population health. And as Tiffany said, we have, if you're going to do that in Connecticut, because we're going to come up as one of the healthiest states in the country, you're going to have to, in fact, focus on populations of color in particular. And what hasn't happened, and I would venture a guess, whether it's Connecticut or Texas or Rhode Island or New York, is a very specific, clear bridge between community and clinical care. And where we're trying to go is to make sure that bridge is established. But what's this going to accomplish? And so for us, one of the major requirements for funding for the community clinical integration pilot is to address health inequities, and with particular emphasis on community health workers, as well as integration of behavioral health and complex care. That, we believe, is the foundation, and we'd say in our state, it's going to be critical to shift from individual medical acute care to population health. And we're working to see that happen in coordinated care organizations you'd see in Oregon, or in abutting ACOs in Connecticut. So how does philanthropy add value? And you've seen one philanthropy, believe me. I'm trying to lump us together, and I'll talk a little about us. So the funding can be for direct services, policy analysis, research and evaluation. I wrote systems dynamics modeling. We'll see about that one. Financing. But also, philanthropy has to recognize its kind of, with sense of humility, its power position, which brings influence. And I think, one, it's important to have the humility, but it's also important to use the influence. And so it is about leadership. It's about the ability to have, not that we're generating great ideas, but to find great ideas and bring them into the discussion. It's about supporting people that are organizing and creating public will. It's carrots and incentives, or bribes sometimes, as I like to say. But a lot of it's participation. I'm old enough to have learned an important political lesson from Nixon, which is you never, ever leave the table. And so one of the strategies, you get to the table and you get people that can call the question to the table. And tap expertise. People are hungry for solutions. All right? So in Connecticut Health's efforts, we have certainly wanted to name the issue and support its voice is critically important. So an example of how we've done that is in our Health Leadership Fellows Program for the last 10 years, which is Racial and Ethnic Health Leadership Fellows Program that is focused on increasing the number of people of color that are participating and getting leadership skills and, in fact, deepen their knowledge and expertise in health equity, because people most affected need to be at the table when policy decisions are being made, brought to the fore. And of course, I think I'm not going to read the slide, but advocacy has been a critically important area that we've invested in. And we're only as good as our partners. And my time's running out, I know. But I want to tell you that one of the things we've done is when asked who's thinking and worrying about health equity every day and goes to bed thinking about it, when I asked our advocacy organizations, no one raised their hand in Connecticut, which meant that the foundation made a decision to take our resources to create a brand new advocacy organization called Health Equity Solutions, which will in fact have their big launch next year in 2016. And their job is to worry and push and pass legislation and organize and build. And what we're shifting our leadership fellows is to a constituency that in fact they can use to make those changes happen. And we're going to continue to do the policy analysis, expertise that needs to happen, because collectively we have to change Connecticut. And unfortunately, people often do not use their voice. And so when all is said and done, our resources are going to make sure that we stay, keep our eye on the prize, that we're making sure people of color are having control of decisions affecting their lives, and we're going to hold our state accountable. Thank you.